This is Untitled MMA.
Untitled MMA Podcast, December 10th, 2019, coming off of UFC DC, heading into a very, very good UFC 245 card that we'll have picks for, plus a bunch of other news. But before we get into it, I'm Buju.
I am Brendanus, a.k.a. Brendan.
I'm Bryce.
So was that your razzle-dazzle intro for this week, or was that low effort?
I mean, that's just on the fly.
That's as razzle-dazzle as going to get.
Because I am. That's one of my many nicknames, Brendanus.
Brendanus? Who calls you Brendanus?
Yeah.
Occasionally, my brother, my brother's friend.
That sounds like very much your brother and your brother's friend type of thing to call you.
My girlfriend in Canada that you'll never meet. She doesn't live here. My best friend from another school, he's super rich. His dad is on a hockey team. It's really sweet.
Moving on.
So UFC DC was this weekend. Main event by Alistair Overeem and Jairzinho Rozenstruik. I officially know how to pronounce his name 100%. Also won some money on Jairzinho Rozenstruik. If you follow Abu Jubetsu, you'd have known that. But a win for Rozenstruik, not quite the way I anticipated. He was going to lose on the cards until he puts away Overeem with 4 seconds left on the clock. Alistair Overeem's lip explodes. Who was the referee?
I don't know. I didn't see it in the replay.
Anyways, referee stops with 4 seconds to go.
No, it was Mike, wasn't it?
Mike?
Wasn't it Mike?
It was Mike.
Mike Mergliotta?
Dan Mergliotta?
That's what I meant.
Tan Dan,
oh,
man.
Yeah, you're right. So, yeah, Tan Dan stops the fight with 4 seconds to go.
A.K.A. Mike.
A.K.A. Tan Dan, A.K.A. Mike Mergliotta. But, yeah, so, A, do we agree with the stoppage? Because it seems to be somewhat controversial. It feels like most people agree. I did put out a Twitter poll. I guess I should read off the results of that. I asked on @UntitledMMA, put out a poll. Do you agree with
on Twitter?
What'd I say?
You just didn't specify the social media platform.
People know. People know.
They should.
I said, do you agree with the stoppage at the end of Overeem versus Rozenstruik? Going to discuss on this week's podcast. 86% of people said yes, they agree with it. So I guess it's not too much of a discussion. But how does everybody here feel?
Bryce?
Bryce Honest? Okay. That isn't how it normally goes.
Bryce Honest? Well said.
Like, I'm trying to think about the best way to put this. I think that the ref should always have the fighter safety in mind, and if you see a guy's mouth explode the way that Alistair's does, you just have to stop it. It doesn't matter that he got up right afterwards, because also, even when he did get up, he was wobbly. So, it's hard to be mad at it.
If he saw his lip explode in live action, then shout out to his eyes, because I don't think he did, but it looked like he was out for like a split second. I think it's a good stoppage. Like you said, you got to keep the fighter safety in mind, because what if, I know what if is not the game to play, but what if he lands two more strikes while he's out and then just does more damage?
To me,
also,
it would be controversial as well.
That's a great walk-off.
For Rozenstruik?
Yeah.
I don't think I paid attention to that.
Yeah, as many times as I saw that replay, I paid attention to it. Very impressive walk-off.
To me, as far as the stoppage goes, the fact that he got back up doesn't even... It's negated by the fact that when he got up and stumbled away. Like, he was trying to get away from Rozenstruik. I think it's a good stoppage by Tan Dan. I don't know how you can make a call besides what he did. Now I'm watching the replay to see this walk-off. Oh, yeah. That's quality. Not quite,
that is.
Not quite Mark Hunt, but that's strong.
To be fair, though, I mean...
Oh, you meant walk off like
4 seconds ago
away.
In the main event. That's impressive to even nail that kind of walk off.
And even if Dan would have jumped in as soon as Overeem hits the ground, I'd have been fine with the stoppage. The fact that he gets back up doesn't mean anything to me.
Well, he stopped in before he got up, or stepped in before
he
got up.
He dropped straight down to the ground.
That's a good stoppage. I don't know how you can argue that.
Yeah,
now, how do we? Go ahead.
I had nothing really of value. So go.
So do you think this adds anything for Rozenstruik, considering that he was going to lose on the cards?
Yeah, because I mean, he still did get the knockout and the walk off, and I think that more than anything, even if he would have won a 5-round decision, it wouldn't have done as much as if that he lands that lucky, or what you could say, lucky strike, that one punch to add to his notoriety. So it did. I think it did a lot for him.
To me, the story of this fight is the fact that he weathered the storm against a guy. Nobody's fought more high-level MMA fights than Alistair Overeem. And Jairzinho went on short notice. Mm-hmm. Rozenstruik went pretty much a full 5 rounds, outlasted Overeem, weathered the storm. Overeem kind of took Rozenstruik's strategy out of the game because Rozenstruik was going to stand in there and counter-strike, and Overeem just decided he wasn't going to throw anything. So Jairzinho went in there, figured it out, ended up getting a win at the last minute, and showed that he has power still, on short notice nonetheless. I think it's a pretty big win for Rozenstruik, despite the fact that had it gone 4 more seconds, it wouldn't have been a win at all.
Anytime you beat somebody in the top 10 when you're outside, well, number 6, I think, he's number 6 fighter, top 5, or three. Near the top 5, I guess mm-hmm. I should say. Anytime you beat a ranked opponent when you're unranked and you're a newly upcoming fighter, it's obviously always a positive.
He was ranked coming into this fight.
He was ranked?
He was just 14, inside the top 15, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I still understand your point, though. It's a big win because I think the biggest thing was the fact that it was the knockout. It was what everyone was talking about. He made a man's lip explode with one punch.
Facts.
That's pretty big. But I want to talk about what he was calling for on Twitter before the fight and what he called for after winning it. He wants Francis Ngannou, the big scary guy. What do we think about that?
He should want to shoot for the stars. Like, that's absolutely what he should want. He should be wanting to continue a championship trajectory, and Francis is a natural stop on that trajectory. But I don't think it's going to be a good move in the long run because he's going to get beat.
Brendan, your thoughts?
It's hard to further elaborate on what Bougie said because it basically sums it up. I agree. If you put yourself in a situation to where you are, it's not like crazy to call somebody out that's obviously as good as Francis Ngannou, then it's reasonable for him to do so, although it's not smart for his career. Like, you obviously want to go shoot for the stars and get to the top as soon as possible, but it's not ideal for him, as Francis will not have a busted lip, but will bust his life.
He's going to rock his world. I'm going to read everyone, or I'll go with the top 10 below. So it's DC, Francis, Curtis Blaydes, JDS, Derek Lewis, Reem, Volkov, Walt Harris, who probably won't be fighting soon, Shamil something or another,
Blagoy Ivanov. You're asking who we should fight next?
Yeah, out of those guys, if not Francis, who would be the smart fight for him?
Junior or Derek Lewis?
I agree 100%. I think Derek Lewis especially.
Derek Lewis would be...
as insanely technical guy.
Yeah, Derek Lewis would be a much more fun fight.
I think he beats Junior, though, too.
He could. He might.
I think that Junior is a better overall fighter than Derek Lewis, but I think Derek Lewis is a tougher fight for Jairzinho Rozenstruik.
Why is that?
Derek Lewis is just hard to beat. Like, he's not technically sound at all. If he's going to beat you, it's going to be with one thing, but he's just hard to beat. Like, not many people have done it. Daniel Cormier. That's, like, about it.
Yeah, I definitely understand where you're coming from. I think that JDS is the tougher fight because he was 4 seconds away from losing to Alistair Overeem. I think JDS in 2020 will be better than Alistair Overeem in 2020.
But the size difference, too. And I don't think Junior is going to be willing to stand there and not throw strikes like Overeem did. I think the Overeem fight Rozenstruik would have ended that fight sooner had Overeem been engaging.
Possibly. We'll see what happens. I think that unless the UFC gets their life together, Francis Ngannou will fight Rozenstruik.
I don't know if he's going to, because it's like Rozenstruik just fought 5 full rounds, basically. He's not going to jump right back in there. And that was on a short notice after he fought on short rest.
Mm-hmm. I just think it, because, I mean, it doesn't, no other fight makes sense for him. no fight makes sense for him besides fighting for a belt.
Francis?
And he wants to fight somebody. So I feel like this is a fight that would make sense for in Francis's mind. Someone that calls him out and he can knock him senseless.
It doesn't not make sense, but I think any fight for Francis makes sense, really.
Yeah.
The sell for a Francis fight is that he's probably going to knock somebody's head off.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as he's not taking a risk where he's going to lose, and obviously you always take that risk when you go into the cage, but I don't know. A fight is a fight for Francis Ngannou if it's not a title fight.
I think he's crazy for wanting the fight, but you like what you like. You want to do what you want to do. So
he wants to fight so bad.
So bad.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't understand why the UFC doesn't book him against somebody. Just somebody.
Maybe nobody wants that fight. Like, if you fight Francis Ngannou, you're getting knocked back down in the rankings a little bit. Jairzinho Rozenstruik doesn't give a fuck. How old is Rozenstruik?
He's not terribly old.
It shows that he possesses the confidence to even compete with Francis.
He is 31 years old. He's about to be 32.
Have him fight Greg Hardy. If Greg Hardy was willing to fight Volkov on short notice in Russia, he'll fight Francis Ngannou.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I don't think Greg Hardy would be willing to do it, but if all parties are agreed, then
why wouldn't he?
Without a doubt.
That's payday.
Hardy, because he'd get knocked out. For sure.
Yes, without a doubt. It would be awful. That would end his UFC career as we know it. Yeah. He would have no chance of ever doing anything.
I don't know about that, but he's getting knocked out.
That would be the nail in his coffin.
Because he gets knocked out one time?
By the second best heavyweight in the world?
I mean, what?
You're good.
Okay. I think just looking at him, and they would make the comparison that an NFL athlete just got flatlined by this guy, and he just wouldn't ever be able to. I don't think he could overcome it.
I think that's extreme.
Well, I also don't think he's ever going to fight for a title either. So,
what do you think Rozenstruik's future is before we move on?
I also voted in that poll. I think that he's going to be a guy hanging around in the top 10, top 5, but I don't see him fighting for a belt, or if he does, I don't see him winning it.
So high level but never champ is what you voted.
That's what I voted as well.
Yeah, we put out another Twitter poll. After a solid win over Overeem last night, obviously this was tweeted previously, what is Jairzinho Rozenstruik's future? The options were future champ, high level but never champ, middle of the road, or he's already peaked. 22% said future champ, 67% said high level but never champ, 11% said middle of the road. Nobody voted for he's already peaked. I also voted that he's going to be high level but never champ. I think he's a very good fighter. I think he has a lot of promise. It's just that gap from a lot of promise to champ is a tough one sometimes, so, especially at heavyweight where your mistakes are magnified so much.
Our untitled MMA decision or vote, just us three, is what gave it the whole 67%.
No.
Someone had 11%, that means there's at least 9 votes.
Yeah, so 3 other people.
Yeah, we didn't. We only gave 1/3 of that.
No,
so
half.
1/3 of the total pie.
I was talking about 2/3 of that 67%. But yes,
it would have been half of the 2/3. But whatever. Let's move on.
That's what I meant to say.
Bryce Mitchell, untitled MMA certified favorite. Although some controversy on that now after some post fight comments. But
yeah.
Gets the second ever twister win in UFC history. Very impressive. I think Bryce Mitchell's a pretty solid fucking fighter, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some things out of him. I also would have won you money on Bryce Mitchell had you followed @BujuBets on Twitter.
Had you.
If you missed out, you're a big-time dum-dum, because if you're a small, tiny fucking $10 better, I won you $20 on Saturday @BujuBets on Twitter.
Yeah. Go follow that guy. But it was, I mean, that's super impressive to pull off that choke.
And what about this?
Is it a choke or what exactly hurts?
I guess it's everything? More like a entire body crank. Like, it's not a neck crank because you're twisting the whole body. It looks awful. Yeah, it doesn't look pleasant. He set it up perfectly, though. He was setting it up the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Very impressive. It's also crazy that he said he learned it from watching YouTube videos of Eddie Bravo doing it.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that, but.
Who in Arkansas is drilling twisters?
That's fair enough. You put a microphone in me out every time I don't say Arkansas. They told me I'd never make it if I didn't leave Arkansas.
Yeah.
Get the man some camo shorts, though, for
exactly,
real.
Exactly, that's what I was about to say. Reebok, make the man some camo shorts. He's earned it.
Exclusive for him.
And he said he's going to take 100%. He's going to use his winnings to take his mamaw out for fucking dinner.
He's a character. And then he also called out Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match. He also said on the Twister note that he recommends his opponent flies out to Arkansas and he'll gently put him in a Twister the other way to realign him.
Hell yeah. That's pretty funny.
What a gem.
Bryce Mitchell, funny guy.
He was awesome and he wants to get political, so it diminished how much I like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have gave his political views.
But it's also, not surprising.
Not at all surprised.
Yeah, he's from Arkansas. Like, he's a white guy from a white MMA fighter from Arkansas.
I expect more.
But
person I like.
And then before we move on from UFC DC, the Stefan Struve Ben Rothwell thing. So late in the fight, Struve gets hit with a low kick. So they go into the stoppage or whatever. Doesn't seem like he wants to continue. Dan Mergliotta tells him, you're up two rounds on the scorecards, finish out the fight, get your win bonus, all of that. So a few seconds later, Stefan Struve gets knocked out by Ben Rothwell. After the referee just told him, you're up two rounds, just go ahead and finish the fight, no big deal. Is this controversial? Do we care? Should Dan face any sort of punishment for this? Like, what comes of this situation?
That's an awful thing to do. If that's exactly what he said and actually encouraged him to continue. Like I said earlier, as a ref, all you have to do is care about the fighter's safety. And saying get your money is not caring about the fighter's safety. If he doesn't want to continue, that's not for him to decide or push for.
It's a 0% chance those were exact words came out of his mouth.
He did tell him he was up two rounds on the scorecards.
That's the gist of it, obviously, but he did not say that. And saying that, what I just said, it's obviously wrong for a referee to influence a fighter to continue fighting when his balls are damaged, but it is what it is. It should not be a big deal.
Okay, so I misunderstood this, apparently. Big Dan told Struve he had to finish the second round or it would be a no contest. That's not true.
That is true.
No, it's not.
I think at that point it would have been. I think you have to fight like 8 minutes or something like that.
If an accidental foul causes an injury severe enough for the referee to stop the bout will either will result in either a no contest or disqualification if stopped before half of the scheduled rounds plus 1 second of the fight has been completed. What a fucking dumb thing.
So 2.5 minutes through the second. So he was within a couple minutes of being able to have gotten a win, but it would have been a no contest if he decided to. And that's also the way that I had understood it. And if he encouraged it at all, it's 100% okay if he just gave the option. Like, you can continue or not, and these are what happens if you do or you don't. But
so I kind of
go ahead.
I kind of spaced out on what Brett said because I was reading that. But if he just told him you're up two rounds on the scorecards, I don't have a problem with that because it might change what Struve is thinking. You know what I mean? Like, if he's just giving him the facts of the situation, then that's whatever. But if he's giving him incorrect information like that, like if I stop the fight right now, it's a no contest and all that.
But it was true then.
What time did this occur?
I don't know, but I do know that MMA Twitter said if they stopped it then, it would have been a no contest. And he wouldn't have gotten his win bonus either way.
That sounds correct. I don't know why it does, but it does.
Now, I definitely remember reading multiple tweets about this. I was driving back from a trip at the zoo while this fight was happening.
Hell yeah. But either way, I don't think it's as egregious as people are making it out to be.
Either way, if he tried to actually influence it, it's wrong and very unethical. But if he only presented the options, it's not that big of a deal.
I think Tan Dan is definitely the referee that plays into the audience the most. Like, he'll encourage action and all that.
Yeah, that, I mean, if you're encouraging action, if they're like on the ground or in the clinch or anything like that, that's fine. But in that situation where a dude's junk is rearranged, I mean, you gotta do what is best for him.
You're very much breathing into the microphone, and I can hear it. But
again,
still doing it. How do you feel about that in general, though? Like, if, say, a Damian Maia, where maybe he can't get to the ground and he's not that proficient of a striker, how do you feel about a referee saying engage or you're going to be penalized for that?
I mean, it's a two-way street. How can you can't penalize one fighter when both of them aren't being super active, in my opinion.
But I guess what I'm asking is, how much should a referee be able to influence the strategy of a fight altogether? You know what I mean?
Yeah, because... I know what you mean. Go ahead, if you have a thought.
No, Brandon. Go ahead. No.
That's hard to analyze. Because you can't, I don't know, it's hard to explain.
I think that if you're, again, on the ground or in the clinch and not doing a whole lot, if you're not making progress towards the submission or getting into a better position or anything like that, then he has all the right in the world to stand you up because, for one, that's within his right as a referee, and two, it's what the people want. But if they're standing up and there isn't a whole lot of things happening, there's nothing that he should be able to do because, like I said, it's a two-way street.
Yeah, I guess I agree. But
I mean, all they're really there to do is force the rules. And if they're going beyond that, which is hard to say because it's very general, but if they're going beyond it, then they're doing way too much.
A referee should never be influencing the outcome of a fight outside of deciding when it's over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my opinion of it.
Yeah. Even though, Holly Holm, Jermaine Duran to me, the referee decided who won that fight.
Yeah. And, I mean, it was a bad call. Who was that referee? Do you remember?
Herb Dean, I believe.
Yeah, the point definitely should have been taken, which would have given Holm... It would have made it a draw? I don't remember.
I think it was going to make it a...
She hit her after the buzzer twice, didn't she?
Yeah. It was the first two rounds. That was such a terrible... Oh, I'm still mad about that.
I don't even like Holly Holm, and I hate Jermaine Duran to me forever because of that fight.
I hate her forever also because of what she did afterwards. That too, my hand hurts. I can't fight Cyborg. Let me give up my belt.
She was saying, I'll fight anybody, blah, 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 blah. And then Joe Rogan asked about Cyborg. She's like, well...
I hurt my hand in this fight. We'll have to see what happens. Oh, what a not great move.
So is that it on this last weekend's card?
Yep.
So kind of a general question here. We have Conor and Cowboy coming up in January, only like 5 weeks away, which is kind of crazy to think about. But what happens if Conor McGregor loses this fight? Is that the end of the hype train? Do we see him in the UFC again, period? Like, it's something I didn't really think about when the fight was announced, but it seems like there's a lot on the line if Conor loses this fight.
I mean, for sure. If he loses, it's a very big hit. I think that it hurts his star power a lot because although Cowboy is without a doubt a very respectable opponent, this is a guy that Conor McGregor should beat at this point in both of their careers. So, I mean, if he loses, I don't know if he'll fight again because I think that he wants one of the big fights that are available for him, that being either Khabib or Jorge. And if he loses, he gets neither of those.
You think it's completely off the table if he loses this fight? He's still Conor McGregor.
Yeah, he is, but I think it's going to hurt his star power because, I mean, he's...
This would be three out of four that he's lost, right?
Mm-hmm. He'd still be the biggest draw in the UFC, but I don't know how much he would want to fight because I still don't think... Because he won't get the Khabib fight, and Jorge, I don't think he would want to fight him if he's coming off of a loss. He just seems like that type of dude.
That's very hard. It's very hard to say where he'd go. He definitely doesn't fight three times if he loses.
No.
He probably doesn't even fight twice. Maybe almost a going out party until he's like, it's been 2 years type of situation. Yeah, comes back. That. But yeah, it might be the going out party for Conor McGregor and hasta la vista type of situation. Like, he's gone. But not obviously permanently. He's going to come back, but it's going to be a devastating blow. It's definitely not good for the UFC or obviously Conor McGregor.
Does he have to finish Cowboy?
No. I think he just has to win.
A finish obviously propels him a lot more, but...
A finish helps him dictate the next fight.
I almost think winning a decision in a fight that is like an absolute back-and-forth battle I think that does more for him than a finish, honestly.
No. Oh, without a doubt. But I just figured by a decision, you just meant he handles it for five rounds.
Yeah.
Nah. Because he's won a war more recently than he's knocked somebody out. So.
That's fair.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Nate Diaz's war was more soon than
that was
Alvarez.
After. Wasn't it?
Well, then
it was. It was after. The Alvarez fight was after the second Diaz fight. Is that those two fights and then Alvarez, you dum-dums?
That doesn't
make sense.
Are you
sure about that?
I'm like 99% sure. Go ahead and look it up.
I so hope you're wrong.
I hope I am. Because
I just asked if there have been 3 out of 4 losses. You said yes, you motherfucker.
I feel like it is.
No. If he fought Alvarez after... I'm not counting Floyd.
Oh, well, I did in that count.
Fucking idiot, stupid fuck.
Well, you just said 3 out of his last 4 fights.
He did fight Alvarez more recently than Nate Diaz. That's crazy.
Yeah, shut up, you dum-dums. How are you going to come at me about Conor McGregor?
That doesn't make
sense. How
dare you? That doesn't seem right at all,
idiot.
Does it?
No.
I think,
you freaking idiots.
This is the fucking Mandela effect right here. We're being Mandela
shut
affected.
Up.
No. Me and Brendan cross into an alternate timeline where Eddie Alvarez fought Nate Diaz. Conor McGregor fought Eddie Alvarez after Nate Diaz. He fought Eddie Alvarez before Nate Diaz, 100%. This is the Mandela effect.
You idiots.
That's wild.
Imagine being as dumb as you guys.
Mandela
I could never.
Effect. No, I'm right. It's impossible for me
to
be wrong.
Yeah, sure. You even called the Mandela effect BS.
No, it's real. I mean,
likely to be a bunch of idiots.
I thought it was BS, but I just fucking realized it's real. Because that didn't happen. It did not happen in that order.
It is so straightforward that it did in that order.
Nope. You're incorrect, sir.
You're so dumb.
What happens if Cowboy wins? Like, what happens to Cowboy if he wins?
He fights for BMF.
Or does he fight for the belt?
No, because I don't think that he's going to get a 155 shot off a 170 win.
I don't know. I think you win that fight, you get what you want. You're the king of the castle.
Nah, I don't. If you're Conor McGregor, yeah, but I don't think Cowboy could ever be king of the castle.
You're acting like Cowboy's fucking, like, Kevin Lee or something.
I know. It's Cowboy. I think he's without a doubt super well respected, but he doesn't get to dictate that move. I think he would get a BMF if that's what he wants.
Yeah, that's probably his pick.
Because I think Jorge would be down.
Jorge beats Cowboy easily,
without a doubt. He did the first time, but it would be nasty this time. It'd be bad.
You agree that Jorge beats the shit out of Conor McGregor, right, Bryce?
He would definitely beat him.
Okay. So that's Bryce in to translate. Bias Bryce talk, that was Conor McGregor might die in that fight. Stipe and Daniel Cormier agree to the trilogy fight. I think DC beats him if they fight again.
I'm picking DC. I think he's going to learn and he's going to be better.
Hold on. Before Brendan speaks, just remember, he hates Daniel Cormier. Continue. Go ahead.
I'd probably go with DC as well.
Oh! That's crazy. Didn't expect that.
Just probably the sole reason or the biggest reason I would pick him is just the chip on the shoulder. It's retirement fight. This is the retirement fight, right?
Yes, we also assume the last one would be, but
he said this is it.
Is assumably a word? Am I thinking of presumably?
Presumably is a word. I don't know if assumably is.
But it's also hard to say chip on your shoulder because both of these guys have a lot to fight for. Like fucking Stipe is a firefighter. And obviously, Daniel Cormier is an extremely emotional father. They're both fathers, but what I'm trying to say overall is they both have a chip on the shoulder. But just this being a retirement fight, the last fight, it almost feels like it's more natural for it to end this way.
And he's better. He's better than Stipe.
I mean, that's what I think this fight decides that.
I don't think that it's even a contest. I think he's better than the second fight. He just had a stupid game plan and stopped covering his body.
To me, they're 1A and 1B. Like, this fight decides who the best heavyweight ever is.
Wait, did DC get finished?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They both got finished. I agree.
Both second round, right?
No.
No?
It was like the fourth round in the second fight.
I think that's right.
Yeah, that sounds...
What is going on with you?
I'm addicted to K2.
K2? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Me too.
Are you really?
We should do it together, man.
Wow, Bryce, you need to get on this K2 kick.
I don't even understand what K2... What is K2?
Isn't that fake weed?
Yeah, it's not good.
Gas station weed?
Oh, I think this is the second time I've asked you this.
Synthetic marijuana.
Yeah, it's not good.
Which kills your brain cells.
I'm not on this K2.
AKA Spice, correct?
I think so. It's cheaper.
Not heard of any
of
this.
But it could kill you, so yeah.
Hell yeah.
I've seen a dude on fake weed before. He might as well have been a crackhead. And he worked at Subway, so.
I knew one person that smoked K2, Matt.
Matt looked like
so, he smoked. I mean, you remember Matt, Bryce?
Oh, yeah.
That's what a K2 person looks like.
Oh, man.
Like, he had issues, like, literally.
Yeah, he's
autistic or something.
Yeah, he's retarded.
No, that's not good.
No, I did here it goes.
I did it just for the laugh.
That was a Brennan move.
stress Bryce.
I'm happy we don't have a PR team.
I am the PR team, and I'm the one dropping fucking R-bombs.
Oh, man.
All right, but Brian Ortega is injured. Brian Ortega injured and out of his fight with the Korean Zombie. Frankie Edgar steps in, which they're not taking it easy on Korean Zombie with this replacement.
No. I mean, they shouldn't. I think he wants to fight for a belt, so.
Yeah, I mean, fine and everything, but Frankie Edgar's a motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't know how I would pick that one. It I think seemed I would like when pick we the zombie. Yeah. I think I'd pick zombie.
When we talked about it recently, it seemed like you were leaning zombie.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be picking this fight in a week or so, so it doesn't really matter what we say here because we're going to be breaking it down a little bit more next week or 2 weeks, whenever it is. But that's just a tougher, like, you're fighting probably the second best featherweight in the world in Brian Ortega, arguably.
Mm-hmm.
He gets injured. So it's like the situation's in flux. You don't really know what's going on. And then all of a sudden you're fighting Frankie Edgar, who's a fucking legend, and somebody whose only big losses are to Jose Aldo, you know?
And Brian Ortega.
And Max? No, he hasn't fought Max, right?
No. He did fight Max, I believe.
Yeah, he did. He did. You're right. You're right. You're right.
So yeah. Three big losses, though, or three opponents.
His recent losses are fucking Jose Aldo, Brian Ortega, Max Holloway.
Mm-hmm.
It's just taking that fight on short notice when you're already planning on fighting another really bad motherfucker, it's a tough draw for the zombie.
Without a doubt. And also, I mean, Corey Sandhagen, the third-ranked bantamweight in the world, is kind of getting the short end of the stick because he's supposed to fight, or is still supposed to fight, Frankie Edgar in the following month. And that's not going to happen.
For some reason,
you don't go into a 5-round fight against the Korean Zombie and come out to fight a month later.
And for some reason, the UFC and Frankie Edgar are both like, yeah, that fight's still on. Is it?
Yeah. They're promoting both of them. Yeah. That's crazy to me.
I don't know. It's weird. Brendan, anything on the Brian Ortega getting injured, Frankie Edgar stepping in to fight Korean Zombie?
Either way, it's going to be a fun fight, interesting fight. So it is what it is to me.
I was really excited for Ortega versus Zombie, but I mean, if you're going to get a replacement, Frankie Edgar is a pretty solid one as far as hype level, I guess. I don't think it's necessarily close to as excited I was for Zombie versus Ortega, but still pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I hope that the Zombie wins. Is that bad?
No, I'm with you. I love the Zombie.
I kind of want him to get a finish.
Hell yeah. Zombie team, baby.
Zombie team.
I like it.
Apocalypse. Call us the Apocalypse. Nothing?
Nope.
Nothing.
Nope. Henan Burrell, the former 135-pound champion, released. What a fall from
grace.
I didn't
even see that. That's how irrelevant that kid is.
Yeah, he's out ski. I look like a ghost right now on the screen.
You're shiny.
I'm surprised that it took this long.
I'm not. Former champions get a whole lot of leeway.
He stunk for years.
Yeah.
Years.
But at least he was like trying different things. He wasn't just going in there and losing. Like, if Anthony Pettis was somebody else, he probably would have got released.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Disagree. Well,
or maybe not because he was still fighting high-level guys. Henan Burrell has been losing to some bums.
Yeah, he lost to... he beat Philippe Noverre. That's his only fucking win. Fucking worthless.
Yeah, in his
Noverre.
Last, like, 3 years or something dumb.
Don't do my boy Pettis like that ever again in your life. Otherwise, I will have to beat your ass.
I'm standing by what I said. Not necessarily the people that he fought. It's just the run that he went on.
Not even... But he's also, like Bryce said, fighting better opponents, and I feel like... Not
and he
that
also
I watch,
fight for a title, even when he was... In his bad stage.
Whoa.
A title fight he didn't make weight for, but...
Not that I watch Burrell fights, but I have a strong feeling that Pettis' fights are much closer. And also, two of his losses, at minimum, were dictated by injuries.
Well, he was going to lose to Poirier. And he should have finished El Kakui. I don't think, if his hand doesn't get broken, he goes back in and finishes him.
All right, Conor.
After that sequence.
All right, Mr. Conor McGregor had a broken foot.
You go break your fucking hand then fucking try and hit somebody in the fucking jaw and see how your hand feels.
Yeah, bitch.
Mother effer.
Yeah, you stupid fucker.
I don't think, I'm just saying, I don't think bastard. If he gets out of that, after Tony Ferguson recovers, I don't think he gets him in that situation again.
All right, I'll come up with another example since we're completely off the fucking radar from where we started. Now I can't think of one. Fuck. Chris Weidman, if he wasn't a former champion, he'd probably be gone by now.
I don't think so either. I think it's because they're still fighting top level guys. Like Luke Rockhold, he only won it once.
I agree.
Bryce, also, you disagreed with me. God damn.
I agree with Bryce.
I also want to bring up something very quickly. I was thinking about this earlier. I feel like guys with a suspect chin should not move up in weight. Thinking about Chris Weidman and Luke Rockhold. Like they were getting annihilated by guys at 185. So they decided to move up to 205 and fight guys with bigger arms and that hit harder.
But the argument there could be that a weight cut is affecting your chin.
I would now say with some empirical evidence that is not the case, and their chins are just buns.
Yeah, but Chris Weidman stinks. Like, is he our example? Luke Rockhold stinks.
What, they both were champions, and they had suspect chins and moved up.
But we've talked about this with Weidman before. His fucking championship run was Mark Munoz and fucking 77-year-old Anderson Silva.
It was at the perfect time.
Yeah.
If Chris Weidman was at his best right now, he would never have been champion.
No, I agree. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying. But these are guys with suspect chins that moved up and they got knocked out. So I don't think that's a good move for people with suspect chins.
What about... I'm thinking on the fly here. Daniel Cormier. I don't know.
What about Daniel Cormier?
Nothing. I was just trying to think of an example. I couldn't think of one. But I don't mind it as a last-ditch effort, though. Like, if you're on a bad run like Chris Weidman was, you have to do something. But if you go up to 205 and get knocked out again, then I think it's over.
I can agree with that. And so it should be over. If Dana White lets him fight again, it's a shame.
If you're on that bad of a run, you have to try something. Like Pettis went down to 145. Chris Weidman moved up to 205. Fucking Ioane and Jacek changed weights after she lost to Rose twice. Like, you have to try something.
Didn't work out there, but...
I'm Valentina Shevchenko within the other division.
I mean, she still didn't work out though.
Buddy, are you trying to fucking go? We're not going to talk shit about fucking Ioane and Jacek right now, because if we are,
it didn't work out. But you moved up.
You might want to Hey, hey. If you're going to talk shit about Ioane and Jacek, you better stay in Muncie. Is all I'm saying. Don't come back up to my screens.
All I'm saying is, if you're on a bad run, moving up in a weight division, I don't think has shown to work. Ever.
Keep your Ioane and Jacek's name out of your mouth is all I'm saying.
You want Ioane and Jacek.
You son of a bitch.
All right, let's move on to our next actual point.
Liz Carmouche also released. I think people are making a bigger deal out of this thing than should be made. She was on a PR trip for the UFC when she got released. The people who are sending her on the fucking PR trip and the people who are deciding to release her are not the same people. Those aren't the same department.
It's kind of messed up, though, that it happened during the PR trip.
I mean, it's shitty timing.
She was in a car with a bunch of UFC reps when her manager let her know that the UFC let her go.
But those reps in the car had no idea. Like, those are two completely different performances.
It's an awful look, that's all.
The people in charge of the fucking roster, whatever department that would be, aren't calling the PR people and say, hey, we're releasing Liz Carmouche right now.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I also want to bring something up since I'm looking at the UFC rankings, and this is last week's update, so this Wednesday they might be a little bit different, but Thiago Santos is now the number one contender at light heavyweight after DC moves down one. How does that happen?
Who fucking knows, dude? Who knows?
Thiago Santos can barely walk.
It's a fucking mystery.
Light heavyweight in over a year.
Like, I don't know. I don't even have anything to say on that because it's so ridiculous.
So ridiculous.
Anthony Joshua and
Andy Ruiz.
Andy Ruiz. I want to say Luis Ruiz. I knew that wasn't correct.
Put some respect on his name. He's the second.
Andrew Ruiz Jr., I'm sorry. That happened this weekend. Anthony Joshua. Sounds like he cruised to a pretty easy win. They have to do Wilder or Fury versus Joshua after Wilder Fury. The winner of Wilder Fury has to fight Anthony Joshua.
Yeah, but he has. Joshua said he's got to do mandatory fights against some people.
That's what Anthony Joshua does. He fucking ducks the best. That's what Anthony Joshua does. That's his whole fucking career.
That's what boxers do.
I mean, yeah, but
that's every big boxer.
But Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury fucking fought each other.
Because he was like a Gypsy King 3 years off. I felt like Deontay Wilder thought he was going to walk through him.
Triple G and Canelo fought each other. You have to fight
3 years later.
You have to fight the best. Like, if Anthony Joshua wants to be considered the best, one of the best heavyweights of all time, he has to fight the best heavyweights of all time.
I agree.
I think he gets knocked the fuck out by Deontay Wilder, and I think he knows it.
I think Wilder beats both of them. So
I think Fury beats Wilder. Wilder beats Joshua. Joshua beats Fury. I think it's a vicious triangle.
Wilder beats both.
I do agree that they should all fight. All three of them should fight one another.
Yeah. It's all bias.
You got it.
I don't see Joshua fighting both of them if he even fights one of them.
And fucking Andrew Ruiz is so stupid. He did not take this fight seriously at all. He goes in there and gets fucking steamrolled through. He didn't get fucking beat up or anything, but he was never in the fight. And now he cost himself the trilogy fight. Like, that's just not happening because he didn't take it seriously. And he took a very easy L in the second fight.
Untitled Boxing Podcast.
That's boxing.
That's it. Boxing stinks.
And that's
like, I say it all the time. It stinks.
I like following it more than I like watching it. Like, I like this.
Yeah, I agree.
But sitting there, if I would have been watching Joshua versus Ruiz the whole way through and not just highlights like I did, I would have been so mad.
Yeah, because boxing stinks.
I would want to watch. I could watch all of Canelo's fight and Wilder fight, and that's about it.
Why Canelo?
Because he's just an interesting big name. It's like just Conor McGregor from a boxing fan's perspective, I guess. Just a big name, big draw, brings excitement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
I don't think there's a single boxing match that I would watch in its entirety. I don't think there's any boxing match I would watch in its entirety.
Canelo and Floyd.
Nope.
You're a liar.
I wouldn't watch it.
You're a liar.
I would watch the highlights the day after. I guarantee you.
I don't believe
it. If it was free on my TV.
Leading up to the Pacquiao Floyd fight, I wouldn't have touched that with a 50-foot pole because Floyd fights stink. They're awful. They're terrible.
Yeah, but if he fought an actually good fighter in 2020, it might be different. It's not going to happen.
No,
it wouldn't. He's a smart businessman, and he wouldn't fight someone that he might lose to.
Moral of the story, Joshua has to fight Wilder or Fury, or his career doesn't matter.
Okay.
Buju analysis. 101.
So before we get into picks for this weekend's card, they're brought to you, I guess, by Buju Bets, at Buju Bets on Twitter, Buju Bets on Facebook. The best college football gambler on the planet. College football regular season's wrapped up, so we're going to have a minimal amount of that coming up, even though we still do have bowls, college football playoff, all that stuff. Still some money to be made there, but picks are 100% free, always transparent. I don't fucking bullshit. I don't charge for picks. Come get very quality picks for free at Buju Bets on Twitter, Buju Bets on Facebook. 2-0 on MMA since I started the account. I know it's a short track record, but we're undefeated, baby. And I have 4 good plays this weekend. Keep an eye on the account. We're going to do a full betting breakdown of UFC 245 later in the week at Buju Bets, and it'll be on the Untitled account, too. Picks for this weekend. We are picking 7 fights for UFC 245. A very good card, in my opinion.
I agree.
First fight,
good card.
First fight we're picking, Matt Brown is a -360 favorite against Killaby Ben Saunders, a plus 270 underdog. Easy pick here. Ben Saunders is awful. One of the worst fighters on the UFC roster. He stinks. Matt Brown, not at the fucking peak of his career right now, but so much better than Ben Saunders. Easy pick here. Matt Brown wins.
I'm looking at a future fight, so I was delayed. I have Matt Brown. He's a huge favorite for deserving reasons, I guess I should say. And that is why I will pick Matty Brown.
I have no idea why Ben Saunders is in the UFC. I looked at his recent resume. It doesn't make any sense. He's not a name. but he's just a guy that I've heard of, and he's bad. He's never been good.
No. He has dirt on somebody.
Matt Brown.
Ben Saunders has dirt on somebody.
He must. He must have weenie pics of Mr. White.
Mike Perry's plus 205 underdog to Jeff Neal, a minus 265 favorite. For one, I don't trust anybody named Jeff who spells it Geoff. You got to get that together. It's J-E-F-F.
Do you want him to change his name?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. You can't be Geoff. You got to be Jeff.
We should try to interview him.
Geoff?
Yeah.
I'm going to call him Geoff the whole time. I refuse not to.
You might end our interview early if you start doing that.
I don't understand the odds on this one. I don't know why Mike Perry's such a big favorite. Jeff Neal, I think one loss or undefeated, something like that.
You have the odds flipped. Mike Perry's the underdog.
That's what I said. I said Mike Perry's plus 205 underdog. Jeff Neal minus 265 favorite.
When you just said it, you said, I don't know why Mike Perry's such a big favorite.
Such a big underdog.
So I was confused. Okay, go ahead. He has two losses.
Jeff Neal, like, his record is better than Mike Perry's, but he hasn't been around the UFC as long. Mike Perry has fought a lot of really good guys in the division. He's beat good guys in the division. I don't know why he's a plus 205 underdog to Jeff Neal. I'm picking Mike Perry as an underdog here, although I'm not super convinced just because I'm so unfamiliar with Neal. I just don't understand the odds here. I'm going to pick Perry.
I was thinking Perry because I recognize his name before I recognize Neal's name. But Neal is like 14-2, 16-2, something in that gray area, that range. So
12-2.
12-2? I knew he had two losses. I was halfway there. But I'm going to go with him. He's a favorite. I don't know what Mike Perry's even really up to now these days anyway, so.
Hell yeah.
He's fighting, man. He's fighting. I am also going to go with Jeff Neal here because I looked at their track records, and I think that Jeff Neal has beaten the better guys, especially recently. Because Alex Oliveira Mike Perry's last three wins. He beat Alex Oliveira, who was a 155er, couldn't cut it, which is also, I think, where his Mike Perry's size is. He beat Paul Felder, which is a legitimate 155er that fought him. And then he beat Alex Reyes in one of his earlier UFC bouts in 2017. Those are his last three wins in the UFC. Jeff Neal is undefeated in the UFC, and he's beaten guys like Nico Price, Bilal Muhammad, and Frank Camacho. I think those are quality wins.
Bilal Muhammad's a quality win. The other two are not.
I mean, he also finished the other two, though.
Yeah. I'm just saying those aren't quality wins.
I think that it's as quality, if not, I mean, especially because he has five wins in the span that Mike Perry has three.
I think Frank Camacho lost to Sage Northcutt. How quality of a win is this?
Fair enough. he's also, in his UFC career, he also fought in Dana White's Contender Series, so I'm going to count that fight.
Oh, bullshit.
He's gotten four finishes and then that decision over Bilal Muhammad. I think that he's right now, he also just looks like a actual welterweight. I think the size is going to be an advantage. I think he's just better at the moment, so I can kind of understand the odds.
So you're picking Neal.
Yeah.
Petr Yan is a minus 500 favorite against Uriah Faber, the plus 350 underdog. The disrespect to Uriah Faber on these odds.
Love it.
That being said, Petr Yan beats Uriah Faber's ass. Like, this does not go well for Uriah Faber.
No, not at all.
I'm a little surprised at the odds just based on Uriah Faber's resume and how long he's been around and the fact that he's a legend, but it's not going to be a close fight, and I think Petr Yan handles it pretty easily.
I have Petr Yan, despite him having a terrible name and a terrible spelling of his name.
Yeah, Geoff's got to change his name to Jeff. Petr's got to change his name to Peter. That's just things that have to be done.
It is things that have to be done. But he is on a 8-fight win streak. His last two fights are more impressive than the previous ones against Jimmy Rivera and John Dodson.
Very
I don't even know, is John Dodson still alive? I haven't heard his name in
not
a long
in the UFC.
Time. But yeah.
Dead to Dana White.
Dead to Dana White?
Dead to Dana White.
Same thing. Dead. Yeah. Same thing. But I'm going to go with Petr Yan. He's a huge favorite. I'm not a Uriah Faber fan, and he's obviously...
Uriah Faber hater, to be honest.
To be very honest. And he's obviously well past his prime. He should be retired. He should be a retired bitch as...
Retired bitch.
The kids say. In saying that, give me Petr Yan by a million. I thought was
Petr Yan only got this fight against Uriah Faber because I don't think literally anyone else that could fight realistically at this time in the year wants to fight him.
Petter?
Yeah. And I think that Uriah Faber is like, you know what? Let's just do it. And it's not going to go well for him. Obviously, Petter Yan is going to win. And I think the odds are like this to try to entice dumb degenerates into betting on Uriah Faber.
That's a good point.
So Petter Yan, and it's not going to be very close.
Marlon Moraes is a minus 200 favorite to Jose Aldo, the former featherweight king of the world, a plus 160 underdog. The disrespect to Jose Aldo on these odds. A minus 200 favorite is Marlon Moraes. The picture of Jose Aldo that came out this week is very damning. Does not look good for my boy Jose. He looks like he's being held up in the picture because he's going to fall down otherwise. He looks very, very sunk in. Very emaciated at 135 pounds. He's eating 2 pounds of salad a day to try and get to 135 pounds.
He also looks aged in the picture.
Yeah. Add that fact into that he's been knocked out twice by Max Holloway, lost to Alexander Volkanovski. Things just aren't looking up for my guy Jose Aldo right now.
Is he your guy?
I like Jose Aldo. I'm not 100% convinced that Marlon Moraes... Huh?
You hate Conor McGregor.
He's whatever.
I like Jose Aldo.
Anyways.
And I love Conor McGregor.
I'm not 100% convinced that Marlon Moraes definitely gets a win here, but all the factors have to point to you leaning towards Marlon Moraes, in my opinion. So I'm taking Moraes to get the W over the legend, Jose Aldo.
I think the odds are very respectable. I think all fingers are definitely pointing towards Moraes to win. This is his natural weight, right?
Yep.
This is his natural weight, like you just said. Like you just said, Jose Aldo looks god awful. Jose Aldo looks god awful at that weight. It looks like he might struggle to take it to the distance, and Moraes has a fair amount of wins by decision, so he can obviously take it to the full three rounds, and he also has a fair share of submissions and knockouts recently.
Like a very nasty knockout against Aljamain Sterling.
So he has knockouts, subs, decisions. He can win the fight at any phase, at any time, it seems like. So I think all fingers point to him, but I'm just going to go with Jose Aldo. I just got to go. Jose Aldo. I say it how I want.
It's just not how you say it.
I'm going to go with Jose Aldo just for more gut feeling. And I'm not even a Jose guy like you guys are. I don't even think he's that great. He's definitely don't got the track record.
Wow, what a take.
What?
It took a second for that to sink in. What? Jose Aldo's not that great.
I mean,
doesn't have that great.
Didn't you just say
record?
That his recent fights was a loss to Volkanovski?
I mean,
two knockouts to Max.
Now, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
He was legitimately the second greatest 145er ever.
I'm going off of recency, not career.
Okay, that makes more sense.
The track record as of late is definitely better for Moraes than Aldo, but I don't care. I'm going with the gut. Going with Aldo. And I also kind of want to pick another underdog. It's fun.
It is fun to pick an underdog. I'm also going to go with Jose Aldo here. I think that Marlon Moraes is very good, obviously. I picked him to beat, I think I might have picked him to beat Henry Cejudo. I may not be right in that. But that he got beat by the smaller man in Henry Cejudo. And so I think, assuming Jose Aldo can fight healthily, remotely healthily, I think he can avoid the big strike from Marlon Moraes, and I assume that his jiu-jitsu is more than good enough to handle anything that Moraes can throw at him. I think that he's learned from the Volkanovski fight. He won't be afraid to pull the trigger like he showed in that fight that he couldn't do. And so I think that Jose Aldo is going to get a dub, and then he's going to fight Henry Cejudo.
To give Jose Aldo more respect than my reasoning for not picking him, losing recently just inspires me more to pick him, because I don't think he's just bound to keep losing and keep losing. He's too good of a fighter, even though he's not at the top anymore,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yep, I understand.
To me, it was just like at one time we were saying Jose Aldo just doesn't lose. Like, it doesn't happen. Jose Aldo doesn't lose fights. And then it was Jose Aldo doesn't lose to anybody but Conor McGregor. And then it's Jose Aldo doesn't lose to anybody but Conor McGregor and Max Holloway.
And then he lost to Volkanovski.
So, I mean, are we going to add Marlon Moraes to that list?
Nah.
Seems like it's likely.
I don't think so. I just think that, because I think if he was just more active against Volkanovski, he could have won that fight.
I will say that I think Volkanovski and obviously Max and obviously Connor are a step ahead of Marlon Moraes. But even if he's a step behind, Jose Aldo's not exactly taking steps forward anymore.
Yeah, I 100% agree. But I think that Jose Aldo is going to get a nice dub this weekend, my guy.
Bantamweight champion of the world and featherweight champion of the world, Amanda Nunes is a minus 300 favorite against Jermaine Durandamy. Jermaine Durandamy's last loss, do we know? Amanda Nunes in 2013. I just don't see a way where you pick against Amanda Nunes in this fight. I think Jermaine Durandamy's a kickboxer, and Amanda Nunes is a better MMA kickboxer than Jermaine Durandamy. I don't see a way where Jermaine Durandamy can find herself an advantage in this fight. Not only is Nunes better in Jermaine's best category, she's better in all the other categories too. I think it's going to be a finish, knockout, second round win for Amanda Nunes.
Yeah, this is a super easy fight to pick. Amanda Nunes finishes it.
Nunes.
What did I say?
Nunez.
Oh, that's going to be hard for me. Pronouncing names is super easy as long as you hear it the first time, but memorizing is the hard part, obviously.
Every single time that we talk about her, you say Nunez.
And you also say Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
Jose is super every easy, time. But Nunez? Like,
Nunez. It's that easy. It's very simple.
But it should be Nunez. I agree with that. And it should
but
be
I
Jose.
Mean, she's Brazilian, so that phonetic system doesn't work out that way.
I agree, but it should be Nunez.
I have Nunes. That's so weird. That's so weird. It's like saying, it's like looking at the color blue and saying red. This is how it is.
I don't know. It's not nearly that bad. You're being dramatic.
She's winning within three rounds by knockout or by TKO. She's finishing her. She's ending her life. Mic drop. Fuck Jermaine Durandamy. Fuck GDR. FGR.
Yeah. Amanda Nunes is going to cement herself as the greatest women's MMA fighter ever on Saturday night.
Like she has already.
Well, I think she has, but this is the last step in that because then she will have beaten every champion or maybe not every champion. Yeah, every champion at 135 and 145.
She's already beat Jermaine, so she's done that already, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
But after they won
the
belt.
Right.
And she also beat the 125-pound champ. I mean, she can't obviously go down any lower, so she can't fight like Joanna or Valentina at 125, so... I mean, she's going to just cement herself as the GOAT, and that's all you have to know. If there's one lock on this card, it's probably Petr Yan, but Amanda Nunes is a close second.
Yeah, and that's why she's a minus 300 favorite.
Yeah.
Max Holloway, minus 175 favorite, the featherweight champion of the world, against Alexander Volkanovski, the plus 145 underdog. Alexander Volkanovski is on a 17-fight win streak. Max Holloway is on a 14-fight win streak at 145 pounds. That doesn't happen in MMA. That is insane. Max has a loss in there, obviously, because he went up to 155 and lost to Dustin Poirier. But at featherweight, 14 straight wins. That's insane.
Max Holloway is the king.
All of them in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
Not as
his last loss was to Conor McGregor.
Yeah, his last two losses, even if you want to throw in the Poirier one, his last two losses are Dustin Poirier at 155 and Conor McGregor. That's crazy. It's a crazy stat. However, we are living in the blessed era, and while Volkanovski's had some very impressive wins in the UFC, added to all those wins that he got outside of the UFC, Max Holloway is the featherweight king for a reason. I don't see a featherweight right now that comes up and beats Max Holloway. I just think he brings so much pressure and nothing that anybody's ever dealt with before, especially Alexander Volkanovski, with this being his first title fight. He's fought Jose Aldo and beat Jose Aldo, yes, but even Max is such a different animal than Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo couldn't handle Max Holloway. So it's the blessed era, and it rolls on with a Max Holloway win on Saturday. Brendan's yawning.
Big yawn.
Max Holloway is 100% winning. I feel like his biggest challenge was Ortega at the time, and he completely neutralized him and dominated the fight. So I'm not necessarily saying he's going to neutralize Volkanovski and dominate him, but he faced his challenges that kind of scared me a little bit in picking the fight. So at this point, I'm full go on Max Holloway in his own weight class. I'm picking him 100%. He's winning this fight, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. I'm also going to go with Max Holloway. I don't think he can be beaten at 145 the way that the division is currently configured. I think that the biggest challenge, obviously, against Volkanovski is going to be defending the takedowns, but he beat Frankie Edgar, who is arguably the best grappler in the history of those divisions, in those lighter divisions. Yep. He's fought at 55, 45, and all of that. So I think that he's shown that he can beat a guy like Volkanovski. He just has to go in and do it on Saturday.
If you can beat Jose Aldo and Frankie Edgar, I feel like you can beat anybody. And Max
legitimately beaten anybody.
Max has beaten Jose Aldo and Frankie Edgar. So,
yeah.
Heavyweight. What the fuck?
Wow.
Main event of the evening is the welterweight championship of the world. Kamaru Usman. This is his first title defense, correct?
Correct.
-190 favorite against Colby Covington, the +155 underdog. Both go into this fight with a 15-1 record. Neither have shown any vulnerability.
I thought Kamaru was undefeated.
No, he's got a loss pre-UFC.
So the Nigerian fighters, whatever, are undefeated in the UFC.
Besides the one dude.
Neither have shown any vulnerability in a very, very long time. Kamaru Usman fucking dusted Tyron Woodley. Colby Covington dusted Robbie Lawler. Dusted Rafael Dos Anjos. This is a super, super fight, tough fight to pick. I would argue that lately Colby Covington has looked better among the two. I just think he's going to have problems dealing with Usman's style because it's so similar to Colby's, just more wrestling-centric than Colby's is. I think it has the potential to be a very, very boring fight. It's intriguing, but I think it's going to be boring. I'm giving the championship edge to Kamaru Usman. It's a super fight. Oh my God, super tough fight to pick, as I said a minute ago, and I stumbled over a minute ago. But championship experience, I think the styles clash a little bit in Usman's favor, so I'm going to pick Kamaru Usman to get the win. I'm hoping Kamaru Usman gets the win over Colby Covington on Saturday.
I have Colby Covington, although I definitely 100% agree. I do want Kamaru to win. I hope Kamaru finishes him and then takes his hat and just jumps on it. Although there's no political views here.
Brendan doesn't want to get political unless it fucking aligns with him.
But I hope he just spits on the hat and just jumps on and squishes it with his feet. But in saying that, I do think that Colby is the better fighter. He's been fighting better lately, although it is against lesser opponents, obviously, because Kamaru's last fight was against a pretty good champion in Tyron Woodley. He's been fighting at championship level. And it's a very good win because, like I just said, Tyron Woodley, I don't know, he had like at least two or three defenses. So it's a pretty good win beating a title holder that has many defenses. But I just think that Colby's pace and his fighting style, I think he'll outstrike him, even though I'm not going to say it's going to be on the feet a lot. I just think he's going to win. Me putting my thoughts into words is awful sometimes.
It'd be like
it's okay.
Shake it off.
I just think Colby's a better fighter. Sadly.
Yeah. I disagree with you. I don't think he's necessarily the better fighter. I think he's just a little bit different. So looking at the record, their second and third fight, two and three fights ago for both of them were in the same orders, RDA and Damian Maia, then they fought RDA. They both won those fights. And they both won them by decision. And I think in those two fights, Colby looked better. He had better performances. Although, based off their last performance, which was for Colby, Robbie Lawler, and then Kamaru Usman against Tyron Woodley, I thought that Kamaru absolutely mopped the floor with Tyron Woodley and looked a lot more impressive than Colby did against Robbie Lawler. Although he did look very good in completely neutralizing the former champion. Like Buju said previously, Kamaru seems to be a bit more grappling centric than Colby, who I think is much more of, I'm going to put you up against the fence or I will pressure you for 25 minutes. Let's see if you can keep up with me. I think that that's something that Kamaru hasn't dealt with yet at all, especially against a guy that can probably at least grapple with him in the same league. And I think I'm going to go with Kamaru Usman here, but man, it's a razor close.
Kamaru,
fight to pick.
Or Kamaru Usman hasn't also fought somebody like Colby, which is an advantage to Colby. Like, for an example, Tyron Woodley is his last fight, and Tyron Woodley fights at your pace. He doesn't fight at his own pace, which is a much slower pace typically.
Or like, at least he drags it into a slower pace. Like,
yeah. Like, just watch the Maya fight. Even though that was obviously necessary for him to win that fight, just look at that fight just for an example of the pace that he can go at compared to Colby, who will be in your mouth, in your face, for five rounds, for 25 minutes.
Colby's advantage is he puts a pace on you. Tyron's was that he takes the pace away. So, it's a completely different fight from Tyron Woodley, yes. But Colby Covington and Tyron Woodley, while the strategies they employ may be different, aren't necessarily that different of fighters, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think all three of them are similar fighters in their strengths and weaknesses. I think that Usman, if anyone can take that strength from Colby, it is going to be Usman, and that is an imposing his will, because he's done that in the UFC. He's not afraid to get booed by fans looking to get the W rather than putting on a show.
Right.
So, and for that reason, I think that he's going to be able to manipulate the pace in a way that puts Colby in uncomfortable waters, and he's going to get the W. But I do not see this fight, whoever wins, winning in a finish.
Do you think this should be the main event?
I personally don't, but I feel like Colby, with just his notoriety, might get a few more of those sweet, sweet MAGA pay-per-view buys.
I think it's because it's so close that it's the main event. That's not the UFC's like reasoning behind it, but I think what gives it that main event status is that it's such a close fight and it's hard to pick a winner.
Yeah,
because I think Maxim Volkanovski is the people's main event of this card, but I feel like that one sways a lot more towards Max than the main event, which seems to be a toss up to a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree 100%, because I could definitely see each of those fighters in the main event imposing how they fight in the rest of their UFC careers and getting a W that way. But I think that Kamaru Usman is going to be able to get the job done.
Who has the most to lose in these title fights?
In all three of them?
Yeah.
Nunes. Or I'm going to go fight by fight. Nunes, Max, and then I think it's honestly a toss-up. I guess Usman, because he doesn't have the notoriety behind him.
It's typically the title holder.
I think it's a bad look for I meant to combine all three fights, like, out of these six fighters, who has the most to lose?
I would say Nunes, then.
Yeah, that's not a question.
But even then, like, if Nunes loses this fight, she's getting an immediate rematch, and she has a really strong chance of winning that.
Max would be two losses in a row.
If Usman loses, no, wouldn't he be?
No, he fought Frankie Edgar after. What is up with your guys' timelines?
No, I remember it right, so suck my dick.
I never had a timeline. My memory is not in chronological order. It's not how my brain works.
But if Usman loses to Colby, it's all this buildup. And, like, Usman is, in a way, because of the way that Colby's aligned himself politically and the way he's built his character, Usman is kind of the ultimate stopping point to that storyline, if this was wrestling, you know what I mean? Like, and if you're looking at it from a certain point of view, and I think the point of view of most people, Colby's the bad guy going into this fight, and Usman's the good guy that has to stop him. So I think Usman coming out with a loss is a very bad look for Usman. And even take all of that out of it, I think it knocks him further down into the grand scheme of things than it would for a Max for a loss for Max or Amanda.
I actually would think Jermaine Duranamin has more to lose than either Kamara or Colby, because this would be her second loss in Nunes.
And her second title. Or no, it wouldn't be a second title loss, but I see what you're saying. Yeah, I agree with you.
She has more to lose just because this is her second chance, and her second chance will be gone away with the wind.
To be fair, I think she's also towards the end of her career, and even if she doesn't get this W, she'll fight a few more bums and then retire right off in the sunset. But
fighting a few more bums compared to
the title. I think about it, I think it's Kamaru Usman, because Max...
Before you say that, I just want to, for Brendan's point, what he's saying is... This fight decides Jermaine Duranamy's future between a championship future or fights and bumps right off into the sunset. Like, that's a big difference.
It is, for sure. And that's also because I think the division is weak.
Yeah.
And there's no names. But Usman, I think, now has the most to lose because Max would get an immediate rematch without a doubt. Nunes would, but Usman wouldn't.
Correct.
Because he hasn't defended the belt at all. And, I mean, Tyron Woodley didn't either when he had defended it. So
right.
I think that he has the most to lose because he hasn't built a name for himself, whereas Colby has, to where Colby will still be able to talk his way into a big fight at 170 afterwards. But
yeah, I agree. Good points by all.
Indeed.
So at the end of the MMA discussion on this episode, episode 102, 103.
Dang, that's a long podcast. Oh, wait, is that one?
Yep.
10? That's 110.
1 hour 10.
That's wild.
Yeah, we've been talking lately.
Usually it's between 55 and 105.
When you have good cards, it helps.
Yes, it does.
Long cards.
And so UFC, keep putting on good cards so our avid listeners can continue enjoying this sweet, sweet content.
Hell yeah, that one YouTube guy.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, that guy. Fucking Bryce Stan.
That guy.
But yeah, you want to do the MMA plugs, Bryce?
Sure. So if you like this, please consider giving us a follow or a like on our social media platforms at Untitled MMA on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/UntitledMMA. If you are listening to this podcast, give us a like, comment, subscribe, wherever you are listening to this. We're on multiple platforms like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud. There's a lot going on in front of me. We're on YouTube at YouTube.com. I think if you just search Untitled MMA on YouTube, you can find us. Give us a like, comment. What should we ask them to leave their thoughts on today?
UFC 245. What do you think?
Yeah. What do you think? Who's going to win? Who has the most to lose? That's what we should ask them. Who has the most to lose this weekend? Honestly, you could also say Jose Aldo. I know we didn't bring up him, but he definitely could because this is a make or break for him.
I just meant title fights, but yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Too.
But yeah, those are the MMA plugs. So give us a shout, and we'll holla at ya, boy.
Folks. Bryce, you pull up to a gas pump.
Okay.
On this little screen, it already says remove nozzle, select your grade. So somebody's already put in a card, basically.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
I'm getting gas.
You evil bastard.
Say that again?
I mean,
I'm focused on my shift getting taken.
Well, I mean, this is a something you're experiencing. This is where I got the topic from. You pull up to a gas pump. The screen already says remove nozzle, select your grade.
Oh.
What are you doing?
Call my uncle for advice.
When did this happen?
Today.
Yeah.
Today? An hour and a half ago. Doing?
In the middle of the phone call, I see a lady walk behind my car, so I'm like, okay. I look in the mirror, and it's the gas station lady. I go to the same gas station, and she's always working, so I already know who it was. She's reaching across, and she gives the pump to the other guy, so the guy gave the wrong number. So I sat there for a little bit. I was standing outside talking to her or whatever while he was pumping. Because I was going to go pump. I was, like, pulling out my car to pump my gas. But then I realized he's literally using that pump even though he guessed it. You know what I mean? He's using it already, but I was about to use it, and I didn't realize the situation. So I just pulled forward and used the other one. Dude accidentally gave the wrong number, and I almost used it.
So if you had gone up and, like, I didn't answer, what are you doing in that situation?
I pull up. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Because, like, especially.
I'm not taking it.
Yeah. Like, if it's somebody already paid for and they left, like, you might as well take it.
I'm obviously scanning my surroundings to see if someone else, if it could legitimately be theirs. Like, if someone's walking out or if someone's confused near to me. Because if you mess up a number, most of the time you're going to be close to where I would be. I'm not that much of a douche, but I'm eventually getting gas. Whether I'm stealing someone else's or I'm getting my own. But.
That's, like, the only situation where I'm, like, going with the, I guess you could say, the moral point of view. Like, when you're messing with somebody else's money, potentially. Like, it just scares me enough that I'm going to be fucking somebody else that I wouldn't do it. Now, if it comes to a situation like, as an example, say you go to the women's Final Four in Tampa Bay, Florida. You have very shitty seats. You see a bunch of empty seats behind the cameras. You put it together that they're not selling these seats because they're behind the cameras. So you go down, you're going to go to these seats because they're empty. And they're checking tickets because it's the club level, so you're not supposed to sit there. Now, if you just act like you're supposed to be there, odds are nobody's going to say anything to you. So you just walk to those seats. Hypothetically, if I'm ever faced with that situation.
You're taking the seats.
I did.
Oh,
Yeah, that happened.
That was oddly specific.
Yeah.
So
I figured you were picking up what I was putting down. But and that's like almost something separate from this. I don't know if people like abide by this in life or realize it. But if you act like you're supposed to be there, 99% of the time, nobody's going to say anything to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you look the part and you act the part, you're going to be okay. Like a place that I interned at before, I had to go back and had some separate meetings with people. But it was on a different floor than I normally was. So I come dressed well and things like that. So I kind of look like someone that could work there.
I usually come when I'm not dressed at all.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
You got a reaction. But I just walked up and no one questioned anything. The secretary was actually confused when I had a question.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure where this office was. So you can get by, especially if you have a piece of paper. It doesn't have to have anything on it. You get a piece of paper.
Oh, yeah. It's a wrap. Or a lanyard.
Oh.
A lanyard, you're in business, buddy.
You are, no doubt.
Name tags, you don't want name tags. That's bad news. Name tags, the opposite of what you want.
Exactly. You need a lanyard.
A lanyard. Like a lanyard with like a...
Yeah, like a convention fucking ticket.
Like a backstage pass looking thing.
Yeah, like Notre Dame gives their tickets out on. Shit like that. Like, you have a lanyard, you're in business.
I think that's all overdoing. I think definitely... We're talking about a business setting, right?
No, any setting.
I mean, in general. I don't know if you were listening because you're on your phone, but I gave the example when we were in Tampa and we just like went to those seats. Like, they're checking tickets for that section. Oh. We just walk right past the person.
Bryce was talking about he was dressed nice.
Yeah, so. I talked about going into a business.
But if you're in a business area, I definitely think you got a piece of paper or a folder, you're good. Like a yellow folder, you know what I mean? Not like an actual like school book folder.
Although, I mean, if you walk around with a regular folder, they might even think you're even higher up.
Here's the thing.
Fair enough.
I've never tried this, but it has to work flawlessly. You know how hotels have free continental breakfast in the lobby?
Yeah.
If you're just driving past that like hotel on your way to work or something, if you stop and walk in, there's no way for them to know that you don't belong at that breakfast.
Yeah. What are they going to do? Ask you for your key?
At the most, they're going to ask you for your room number. If they ask you for your key, say, there's people in the room. I don't have the key.
Yeah, you can say, I don't know. Yes. My buddy is in the room.
Ask for your room number. Be like, 217. Why? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You get free breakfast. Yeah, that is going to work 99.9 times out of 100.
Scamming my way to free food, it's not hotel breakfast.
But how else are you going to scam your way to free food? This is turning into the scam cast.
I'm going to McDonald's and holding them motherfuckers to fucking gunpoint.
Well, that seems
with the like water gun. With the water
that's
gun.
Not a scam. That's
criminal
that's
activity.
That's robbery. That's a felony. I'm
trying to think of other situations where you can just. Like, I wonder if you walk into a gas to go back to the gas station one. If you just walk in and you go, oh no, that doesn't really work. Never mind.
The biggest most common scam that I want to try, which I don't know if it truly works, is like the coin trick with vending machines. Dollar trick.
I just don't think that works.
I've seen vending machine like button combinations that give you credit.
There used to be at the bowling alley that used to be by my house. It's now a community center. But the change machine that was by the arcade machines, if you put a $1 bill in it wasn't the change machine. It was the soda machine. If you put a dollar in, you hit a selection and hit the coin return at the same time, it gave you your selection and your
the dollar?
Four quarters back.
That's dope.
That is dope.
That's scam.
That gives you one play of what's it called? The claw.
Yeah.
Or two rounds of basketball.
No, back this was the fucking 90s, son. That was probably four rounds of the claw and two rounds of whatever real games they had.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I'm a big fan of claws sometimes. Scam. But you just gotta be patient and have a lot of money and not expect to win soon.
I feel like the three of us have implored the act like you're supposed to be there strategy when we've gone places before, but I can't think of the time that we did it. Like, we've definitely done this before.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, I don't know. I can't think of it. We've done it before.
Was it at a UFC event? I doubt it.
No, because, like, we haven't changed seats up or anything. Yeah.
Because that's generally more full than a women's basketball championship.
And those seats were only empty because they were behind the main, the cameras that record everything.
Mm-hmm.
The hard camera, that's the word I was looking for. We've definitely done it before. I can't think of the situation, though.
For basketball games is generally the best time.
Big news, though, Bryce.
Yes, 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 yes. It's breaking news. It's world news. What?
I'm about to try the Popeye sandwich.
Are you? Yep. Is that what you're about to go do?
Yep.
I want to hear about it, and then...
There's a spicy and a regular, correct?
Yes.
I'm going to get one of each.
That's a power move.
Spicy is, without question, better, even though I haven't had the other one. Because the spicy sauce...
A spicy variant of anything is more times than not better.
The right. sauce they put on it is what...
We're about to get hyper-specific here, because that's what we do at the end of the show. We're an hour and 20 in. Whatever happens at this point happens. Brendan thinks, A, that... Popeyes is better than Chick-fil-A, which I haven't had Popeyes, but it doesn't sound like a crazy take. But he thinks T. Allen's King Eero's in South Bend, Indiana. He thinks their chicken sandwich is better than Chick-fil-A.
That's just wrong.
Makes sense, the way he's grading it based on his taste.
I would imagine, before you explain his reasoning, I imagine he takes more... into account in the crispiness of the sandwich. Yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
But the chicken itself is not nearly as good.
That's a fair enough take, because what makes the chicken sandwich so good, even though the breading is pretty good itself, definitely I agree when I said, which was your dad's and my dad's take. The juiciness and the just the realness of the chicken, not just like meh chicken. The juiciness, because I don't like dry meat at all. So the juiciness of the Chick-fil-A sandwich is what makes it like so great.
Never mind. People buy or order well-done steaks.
And it's not like it's like you chew it and you're done. You're not like for 10 minutes. You don't really do that with chicken compared to steak anyways, but still.
Yeah.
So I understand the argument, but I like breading more. So that's probably more the reason why that is my order, because those breadings are definitely better than Chick-fil-A. I don't really remember the meat inside the Popeye's chicken sandwich to say if that's better or not compared to Chick-fil-A.
Well,
but I will say Gyros is definitely not.
I'm coming home on winter break in 3 days?
I already
know. With it, probably that weekend, I'm going to a Popeye's. We just don't have one around here.
I already know your answer.
I've been told to get the real experience, and here we go, going hyper-local again. You have to try the one at Town and Country, not the one on Lincoln Way.
Because
the one on Lincoln Way is, let's say it's a bit...
it's sketchy.
Undesirable.
It's sketchy.
Just because, I've heard it's better at Town and Country than it is on Lincoln Way.
Are you gonna go all the way out there?
Yeah, because we have to go out there anyway. That's why we're doing Popeyes.
Oh,
I have to get an engine stand. We also want to get hyper-specific again. At Harbor Freight in Town and Country in Mishawaka.
Okay. Well, let me know how it is.
I will.
And
save it for the show, or do you want a text?
No, you can just text me.
Okay.
Because I'm much more curious, and I'm not going to wait a week to find out how your chicken sandwich
was. We're definitely not going to remember
that. Because I'll probably have had one by then.
All right. Did we do it?
I think we did it. It's a wrap.